Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Just calling because I just moved over here. And I wanted to talk...
Well, wait, you just moved. Congratulations and welcome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, welcome. I think I just saw you 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I know, right? It's been so long, Chris. But I just wanted to call in because something that I've noticed living in New Hampshire, the speed limits are kind of erratic.
yes, so they are.
Speed traps.
Yeah, exactly. You're going 40, 50 miles an hour in one zone, and then you enter into a town and bam, it's 35. So I thought that it would be an interesting proposal in New Hampshire if we were to abolish speed limits, because if you look at Germany, they successfully implemented that. The Autobahn doesn't have any sort of enforced speed limits, yet it's one of the safest places to drive in the world. And the only reason why they implemented speed limits in the first place was because cars used to be more fuel inefficient. So they did it as a way of conserving fuel. But nowadays, there's not really much of a difference in terms of oil usage driving 55 or 65.
Yeah, I'm of a certain age, and I recall when I think the speed limits used to mostly be 65. I tend to travel in the non-busy rush hour times, and so... Yeah, do I violate the speed limit? Sure, all the time. I'm generally doing 5 miles over the speed limit, just as a sort of a rule of thumb, if you will.
You know what's interesting is we actually already have safety recommendations in New Hampshire, as I understand it, where it's basically, it seems like a speed limit, but it's not. You know the yellow signs that are when you get on a on-ramp or an off-ramp?
Oh, yeah.
Those are apparently recommendations, not...
That makes a lot of sense.
Requirements in New Hampshire.
Because I've never, ever yielded to one of those in my life.
No, I don't think anybody has.
Going 35 to...
On and off?
Yeah, on and off ramps from the highways. They usually say a little yellow speed limit sign that says 25 or 35. When you're getting off the highway from going 65, it's impossible, but...
Huh.
Yeah, it's...
I haven't noticed those signs.
It's just one of those things where it's we think there's a speed limit, most of us, but it's not really a speed limit. It's just a recommendation.
Go ahead, Zevin?
Oh, did we lose him? Maybe he went through a dead zone.
Did we lose you? Are you in a tunnel? Are you trapped in a glass case of emotion?
It did kind of sound like he was driving.
Zevin going once.
Now the conspiracy in me...
Zevin going twice. All right, thanks for the call, man.
That the government cut him off because his idea was just too good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Also, welcome to any federal agents of any variety of any alphabet soup who are listening to the show tonight. We've covered a bit of this here on Free Talk Live previously. There have been several developments in this particular story, and it's in the news again. There was a private safety deposit, a private bank that people could buy safety deposit boxes in. It was raided by the FBI, and the FBI was specifically told not to open all of the boxes. They were only supposed to go into very specific boxes for whatever case they were working on. Anyway, they paid no attention to any of that and went ahead and opened everybody's boxes, or at least so it seems, the most of them. And people are having a difficult time reacquiring the things that were supposed to have been kept safe because things have either disappeared or they've been not documented appropriately as the federales went through all of these safety deposit boxes.
Here's an idea. If you're a private business, don't cooperate with the FBI. You don't have to.
I mean, I
don't think they did.
I don't know if they did
I
or
bet they
not,
did.
But I suspect the FBI would have their way if they really wanted it one way or another. Because
if they told them no, they would have to go get...
a warrant? That's what FBI did, but they didn't get a proper warrant.
When FBI agents asked for permission to rip hundreds of safe deposit boxes from the walls of a Beverly Hills business and haul them away, U.S. Magistrate Steve Kim, never trust a man with two first names, set some strict limits on the raid. The business, U.S. Private Vaults, had been charged in a sealed indictment with conspiring to sell drugs and launder money.
Oh, so the business was in trouble.
But its customers had not.
Wow.
So the business was. So the FBI could seize the boxes themselves, Kim decided, but had to return what was inside to the owners. This warrant does not authorize a criminal search or seizure of the contents of the safety deposit boxes, Kim's March 17th seizure warrant declared. Oh, this happened on the 17th. Interesting.
March 17th?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, irony. We're very close to irony. Yet the FBI is now trying to confiscate $86 million in cash and millions of dollars more in jewelry and other valuables that agents found in 369 of the boxes.
Well, then they can definitely afford to give me back my cell phone they stole on March 16th.
Oh, they could afford they could afford to buy your entire cell phone plan for the rest of your life. They're, you know, they take money from other people and then use it for their own purposes instead of, you know, for doing anything that follows any sort of philosophy.
I got into my iCloud account, and I guess I never backed up my old phone, so I just lost all my pictures forever because the FBI stole it.
The box holders and their lawyers have denounced the ploy as a brazen abuse of forfeiture because apparently the feds want to keep all the money. And they say that...
When is it not an abuse to forfeiture...
Yeah, that's a great question. Civil asset forfeiture is abuse.
It's absolutely disgusting government can take your money without having any reason to believe that you've committed any kind of crime.
They can take your money. They can take your land.
And they do it routinely.
Yes.
Just because they have guns.
Yep.
Yeah.
What if I did that?
You would be arrested.
Well, they disguise it, of course, in all sorts of verbiage known as laws.
You know, I say you would be arrested, but reality is that they don't really investigate most of these crimes that, you know, you report them and they'll take
your complaint.
Well,
what if I was caught doing that?
They'll arrest you.
Yeah, like what if somebody captured me?
If you're caught red-handed, basically, they come out, they'll arrest you. But but most of the crimes that get reported to police, they don't actually investigate. They just take a report and they file it away.
Hmm.
So it's not about you. It's about what they can get for themselves. And one of those things is a paycheck. So.
Well, the box holders are saying prosecutors in the FBI were trampling on the rights of people who thought they'd found a safe place to stash confidential documents, heirlooms, gold, rare coins, and cash. If the FBI wanted to search the boxes, the lawyers say it first needed to meet the standard for a court-issued warrant. Rozek said a number of factors would lead the FBI to pursue forfeiture of the box's contents, such as large stacks of cash kept by a person with a criminal record or no known source of income.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay, so
again,
is it a
law that we have to know where everybody gets their money from?
Right. It's irrelevant because you didn't have a basis to search or seize the contents of that box in the first place.
If you have large stacks of cash, it's entirely possible that you might not need a source of income.
And maybe you don't want the FBI to know where you get it because you've heard they steal from people.
Possession of cash.
Or where you keep it, sorry.
Possession of cash in any amount is legal. This is just the next line here in the article, and it's a separate paragraph, too. It's just one sentence. Possession of cash in any amount is legal.
It's almost like they're trying to make the same argument they make against Bitcoin towards their own fiat right now. Oh, you have a lot of this. What are you going to do with that?
Is
that because people use fiat to do criminal things?
I mean, they're basically criminalizing wealth, right? Like, they're criminalizing having money.
Well, unless you're already rich. Beyond the $86 million in cash, the FBI is seeking to confiscate thousands of gold and silver bars. The FBI has returned the contents of about 75 of, like, over 300 boxes. And plans to give back the items found in at least 175 more. They plan to. Doesn't mean they will. It means they plan to. Because there was no evidence of criminality, Rozek said. Federal agents have not determined who owns what and what was stored in many other boxes. Of course, they opened them and emptied them. And they didn't... Oh, man. Some of the updates on this, we've covered here on Free Talk Live. You can go find them over at archives.freetalklive.com. But they certainly did a poor job of cataloging when they were taking stuff out of boxes and which box, you know, what stuff belonged in what box and that type of a thing. I'm very confident that many people are getting screwed out of their valuables.
Wow.
The indictment says U.S. private vaults marketed itself to attract criminals who wanted to store valuables anonymously and keep tax authorities at bay. Gosh,
wow,
sounds
so familiar.
Doesn't that sound like every American?
Having like Vuja Day here, the feeling that nothing like this has ever happened
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I mean, the humorous part about this is, you know, tax minimization is legal, right? Like every time you check off a box on your form that, you know, gives you some sort of an exemption, that's tax minimization and it's legal.
Yeah, but it's also really similar to what's happening in the Crypto 6 case because they're trying to allege that it's more suspicious than any like average Bitcoin ATM or Bitcoin vending machine out there.
If I've got $20 in gold and you've got $20 in USD and I'm like, dude, can I trade you this $20 in gold for your $20 in USD? And you go, sure. And we make that trade. Has anything illegal occurred?
No.
All right, then. Among those enamored in the government's dragnet was Joseph.
But what if I wanted my cut? Sorry.
Oh, if you wanted your cut.
Yeah, what if I wanted my cut? What if I had a gun and I wanted my cut?
Well, if you had a gun.
That's another story.
You know,
that's another situation.
You know, if neither of us wanted to die, for example, we might comply.
Well, what if I went to a magistrate and asked for a warrant and they told me I could search around the room, but not where the gold was, and I took the gold anyway.
The real question is, do you have a legitimate claim to a cut?
Yeah.
So the real question should be, did you provide any value in the exchange that Chris and I just made in that scenario? Did you do anything to help that exchange in any way, shape, or form? Did you earn your cut is really what I'm asking.
Well, no, but I wanted it.
Well, then you've just stolen part of the transaction. How does that make you feel, Sammy? Are you driving 55 yet? What's going on?
I can't.
You can't?
I can't drive 55.
Me neither.
I just can't help but make bad jokes when Captain's around.
That is what Sammy would say.
I have that effect on
me. Isn't it? You know?
Here's the deal. I'm going to protect you guys with my gun, and you guys give me some of your gold.
Well, what if I don't want your protection?
Right.
Oh, you can't opt out. Sorry.
Did I sign up for this protection service?
No, but I'm going to go to fucking great with you. And sorry, did I say that too fast? The restaurant in Keene.
Keene great. Great. Just and, so, yeah, the sensors know.
And your house or whatever with my gun and protect you guys. And that's why you'll give me some of your gold. Yay.
And who is this that I'm getting protection from again?
The bad guys.
Well, you're getting protection from her from what she'll do to us if we don't give her the cut.
Oh, yes, yes. That makes a lot more sense now. Reminds me of why I pay taxes.
Yeah, I still decline your very coercive offer.
Well, you can't, but...
I do anyway.
Watch it. She's going to use those guns on you.
Yes, I know. I better quickly run away with the cash now that you have the gold.
For the record, I don't own a gun and never have.
Even like a squirt gun? What a BB gun. Come on.
Do those count?
My little brother and sister had a BB gun.
I mean, cops have shot kids with Nerf guns, so I mean, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, with real guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerf guns. Nerf guns. NERF, you know, the ones that kids play with that, you know, shoot basically foam darts.
Wait, so cops really have shot Nerf guns?
No. They've shot, like...
Oh, kids that had Nerf guns. You said shot kids with Nerf guns, so I was like, why did they do that?
El Salvador is taking steps. I believe they took steps and became the first sovereign nation to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender alongside the U.S. dollar, potentially setting the stage for other nations to reduce central bank influence over their economies. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! This is the way.
It's interesting that they did it alongside the U.S. dollar. It sounds like they're like, please, they're adopting Bitcoin while saying, please don't invade us.
I mean, yeah, that's probably a very accurate assessment, Chris. They probably sat down, their finance people in this particular government in El Salvador, they probably sat down and they went, well, we want to do this, but we really don't want to piss off the U.S. How can we do this and like sort of make sure that they don't do the things that we just joked about, that they were going to invade and liberate El Salvador and, you know, do some sort of a coup and eliminate the president of El Salvador and replace it with some figurehead that the U.S. appoints, because this is what the U.S. does. And I think you're absolutely right. That was them going, yeah, we're going to do this, but alongside the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a very accurate assessment. A bill enabling El Salvador to recognize Bitcoin as legal tender has been submitted. And President Bukele said in a video message that was shown on Saturday at the Bitcoin 2021 conference in Miami, Bukele's political party has firm control of the assembly.
I was calling about the conversation you guys were just having about the government seizing property.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know when they take your property for illegal activity, even though you haven't gone to trial yet or you are found innocent, they don't give it back. They keep it.
Yeah, we're well aware of this.
Civil asset forfeiture.
It happened to some of us 5 years ago, and we're just getting some of it back now after like a lawsuit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, you guys ever see the movie Kill the Messenger?
That doesn't ring a bell.
No.
It's based on a true story. You guys got to check it out. The CIA knew about people smuggling cocaine into the United States. And it started the whole crack epidemic. And they were funding money back to Nicaragua for the rebels.
Wasn't it the CIA doing that? It wasn't just like they were ignoring people doing it.
They were actively involved doing it. Well, and
it was how they raised funds to fight a war, I think, that was kind of under the table, under the radar, like because it wasn't funded through normal means of the U.S. government.
I don't know the status of it, but it's my understanding that there may still be United States troops that are protecting poppy fields somewhere in some foreign country. Voluntary human act interactions are most things most of the time, right? You're driving along, you're like, I'm thirsty. What are you going to do? Oh, I would like to get a beverage. All right, so you pass a place, you're like, oh, I'll stop here.
You're right,
they have beverages.
We should have the government working on that.
Should the government be mandating that you stop for a beverage because we can't make the decision for ourselves to stop for a beverage?
How many people drive thirsty every day? We need the government to get on that.
I think you're right. I think we need the government's protection. I think we need a law that mandates that every day on your way to work, you have to stop at, what's your business? Mighty Moose Mart? I think the law should say you have to stop every day at Mighty Moose Mart on your way to work.
What Mighty Moose Mart, or you in particular, Bonnie, should do is spend a bunch of money to lobby politicians to get this particular law put in place. And that would give you a leg up on all of your competition as a business as well. And you might even crush some bigger competitors than yourself if you were to do this.
Yes. There's probably someone driving thirsty right now.
There probably is.
And that's a threat
that's
to
a threat.
Everybody. Your kids are going to die.
You're distracted if you're driving thirsty.
Exactly.
DWT, driving with thirst.
That's why you should support this new law.
That's how it works.
We were speaking about El Salvador. I just want to say I think it's awesome that at least somewhere, somebody is recognizing there's a term in the technology world for when a new technology comes out.
Utilization?
No, it's called the first mover advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So when, email came out, right? This was a new technology. Nobody had ever heard of it. And the companies who got in on it first made more money than those who waited to get in on it a little bit later. They put themselves in a better position to utilize the technology and understand it, and therefore they're better off as a result. It makes my heart all warm and fuzzy inside to see something like an El Salvador go, yeah, you know what, we're just going to do this because we know it does function as a currency. We know that people are using it. They're going to use it regardless of what governments do. Governments have been trying to take down cryptocurrencies for over a decade now with, I mean, the score is zero. Government, zero. Cryptocurrencies, thousands. You know, over 10,000 cryptocurrencies, I believe, exist, and more are being invented every day.
One of the things that crypto does is it makes it harder for the government to steal from everyone, right?
Right.
It's not that they can't necessarily come into your house and steal your crypto. They potentially can. However, it becomes extraordinarily more difficult to do so when you have to go into everybody's house and steal their crypto, right?
Yes.
Like, it's much easier when the government says, they basically call up the bank and they say, freeze these accounts.
A lot of people don't know that the government can just do that.
Yeah, and they do it all the time, in fact.
Yeah.
It's a lot common. Harder if they have to raid every single house every time they want to freeze a bank account or steal money from you. This enables everybody, if we work together, to hinder that theft.
Yeah, and I'd like to make something else clear since we're talking about cryptocurrency and I haven't been on the program for a few days. there was a pipeline that was supposedly ransomwared, and the ransom was paid in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically. There were several articles that said something along the lines of the government cracked Bitcoin and was able to recover, I don't know, 75% of the ransom that was taken. That is not true. The government did not crack Bitcoin. Bitcoin itself is unhackable, or at least has proven to be unhackable to this day. It is weird how outside of the U.S. there can be, you know, these sort of malicious gangs, if you will, and that eventually they become governments.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm
they get older and they're no longer teenagers with guns, and now they're like adults with guns. They're like, oh, we should be a government.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering, do you have to pay the MI-13 tax as well? You know, even though you're exempt from one of those taxes.
Well, in Mexico, I know that you have to like pay off the cartels if you own businesses.
Well, right, and that's what I'm kind of wondering. Do you have to pay off MI-13 gang on, you know, even though you don't have to pay off the government here?
I have no familiarity with El Salvador and their governance whatsoever.
Me either.
Outside of this offer to cryptocurrency entrepreneurs. Contrary to the stance more and more countries are adopting about cryptocurrencies, Bukele is profiling El Salvador as a cryptocurrency-friendly country with this move. The young politician definitely has the power and disposition to do so, according to many. With countries like the U.S. and China constantly targeting cryptocurrency startups and businesses with stringent or unclear regulatory frameworks, or even, I don't know, performing no-knock raids violently on properties and arresting people just for the simple exchange of cryptocurrencies. Sorry, I ad-libbed. That's not in the article. The proposal of El Salvador is poised to attract money from startups and projects now interested in establishing a presence in a crypto-friendly state. This talk show, because it's called Free Talk Live, it generally comes from the perspective of peace and freedom, liberty, right, financial freedom, all that kind of stuff. We have a large libertarian following. And this one might confuse some folks because a lot of libertarians are pro-gun, but they're also, like, I wouldn't say anti-vax, but they want to be able to choose whether or not to put something into their body instead of having it forced upon them in some way, shape, or form by governments, for example.
It's more like libertarians standing up for anti-vaxxers as opposed to being anti-vaxxers.
That is true, yeah. It kind of goes back, like, some libertarians are like, yeah, I'm vaccinated, and some are like, no, I'd never take that. So it's kind of...
Well, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, believing all vaccines are created by the devil and believing that certain vaccines are unsafe versus other vaccines
people who don't want to take the COVID vaccine are becoming labeled as anti-vaxxers, even though they're fully vaxxed otherwise.
Right.
So, like, that's a bit of a misnomer out there to all you lefties who are guilty of such.
All the other vaccines were tested for longer than 6 months before they rolled out.
Correct.
Yeah, there's, like, I'm not vaccinated, but I'm not against getting vaccinated, but I'm definitely waiting for certain things to unfold and certain more traditional vaccines to come out, and they're not here yet.
Yeah, I wasn't going to put this thing into my system. Now, I had COVID, and I beat it, right? So, and by beat it, I mean, like, I was in no danger at all, ever. A government giving away guns is an interesting concept to me from that perspective.
The government gives away guns all the time. Look at the Fast and Furious.
But not to citizens. Not to U.S. citizens.
Oh, yeah, just to both sides of... Right. Conflicts in the Middle East.
So here's a question. Is this men, women, and children?
What, the government?
Yeah, with the guns in Virginia. Are they giving it to men, women, and children, or is it excluding children, or is it excluding women?
I don't know. Let's find out.
I'm kind of curious now. Is it all three groups, or is it two of the three? Is it one of the three?
As states throughout the U.S. launch campaigns to try and convince residents to get the COVID-19 vaccine, with million-dollar lotteries, college scholarships, free beer, and amusement park tickets topping the list. Also, I don't know if you guys heard, Washington State is doing joints for jabs. So they're giving away a free pre-rolled marijuana joint if you go and you get the vaccine. Yeah, that's right. Joints for jabs. At first, governments were like, oh, marijuana bad, marijuana illegal, you go to jail for marijuana. And now they're going, hey, if you get the vaccine, we'll give you some marijuana.
That's right? Going to be an awful high when you're sitting at home having COVID-like reactions. and your left arm is numb.
Oh, yeah, and if your taste goes away and you're really stoned and you try and eat some Doritos or something, you can't
taste
them.
You're
going to
be pissed.
You know what would be funny is to do guns and weed, the two of them.
Ooh.
Guns and Weed Talk Live.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.